episode 1132, My Strength is My Story with Katie Farrell. Nourish.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the
happy,
radio.
Happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us a wonderful, warm-hearted woman named Katie Farrell. She is going to dash into your hearts. Oh yes, she is the creator of Dashing Dish. You may have heard of her. Well, you'll want to stay tuned because we have so much fun. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Katie's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and to sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, Katie and I have so much fun. Have you ever gotten those butterflies in your stomach? Well, we talk butterflies, but they're not in your stomach. Oh no, it's all about transformation, body image. We even talk about things that are fuel, not just for your body, but for your soul. What is keeping you motivated every day? What is fueling your soul? Something that maybe we don't talk about much, but Katie does, and she has a passion for what has changed her life and what God has brought her through. Beauty for ashes. I promise you, your heart will be warmed. So without further ado, let's welcome in Katie Farrell. Nourish. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. Today is my favorite series. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us a fabulous, incredible woman. Her name is Katie Farrell. Katie is a wife of 8 years to her high school sweetheart, Sean, and is now a brand new mommy to Madeline Joy. She is the author of Dashing Dish Cookbook and the owner of Dashing Dish Incorporated, a web-based nutrition business and ministry. Today, Katie joins us to share her personal testimony of how she broke free from eating disorders by renewing her mind with the Word of God. Through her experiences, her brand new book, Nourish, discover God's perfectly balanced plan for your body and soul. As a labor and delivery nurse, wife, and mom, she teaches how to replace your lies with spiritual truths. It's time to nourish your health at a heart level. Katie, welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. I'm so excited to have you here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I feel totally honored.
It's our privilege and just the opportunity to get to know you. Let's start with a fun one. What fills your day with joy?
Oh my gosh. Well, like you said, I have a new baby girl. She is almost 8 months old, which is just crazy. To me, it feels like she's only been here for a few weeks, but it might be the lack of sleep and it blurs days together. Who knows? But she truly does fill my day with joy. I tell my husband all the time, what did we do before she was here? Because it almost feels like she's always been a part of our life. Mm-hmm. And, she just is such a gift from God. We actually, my husband and I have been married for 8 years, and we've been praying for a baby for about 5 years. And so she truly was a gift from the Lord. And so we feel like the moment we found out we were having a girl, we decided her middle name would be Joy, because she really is just such an expression of the joy that she brings to our lives. So that takes up most of my days these days. She is a good baby. She's a good sleeper, so I can't complain at all. But wow, they really do take up a lot of your time. And I feel like laundry, that's another thing that takes up a lot of time in my day. People didn't warn me about how much laundry you actually do with a baby. And I'm like, why did no one warn me of this? But no, it's all worth it. And it's amazing and incredible to watch her grow and develop.
And to share it with your high school sweetheart, the man that you love, it's just something so precious. And as a mom of five, I can totally relate how each one is just such a miracle. And for you, it's even more of a miracle because of the background and the history of your life and what you went through when you were younger. Take us back to when you were a teenager. I just recently experienced a move. And when you were a teenager, you moved from a good-sized town to a smaller town. I'm kind of reverse. I moved from a smaller town to a much bigger town. And there's pluses and minuses to both. But as a teenager, you began to see things a lot differently. Set the stage for us.
Yeah, we went through our first move when I was 14 years old. And if you remember being a 14-year-old girl at all, you can already pretty much remember just how awkward it felt. I mean, I don't care who you are, how popular, if you're on the varsity cheerleading team, it doesn't matter. You're just awkward when you're 14. I mean, it just is the way it is. Because you're learning about who you are. And we moved from a big rural town, or a big town, to a very small farm town, I should say. And I remember driving in and saying, oh my gosh, where are all of these cows coming from? Like, I just thought, I didn't even know that cows existed, like, just all over the place, like, it when we were driving into our new town in Wisconsin. And I was in my very first day of high school, to top it all off. So I was walking in to a brand new school, a new town, high school. I left all my friends behind. And so it was very just nerve-wracking all around, as you can imagine. And, you know, a big part of my story in my book is I talk about how my testimony really began at that pivotal moment, was the first day of school. Mm-hmm. I walked into the lunchroom, and I'm sure that anyone that can remember also on the first day of school trying to find someone to sit with at lunch, that was one of the pivotal moments in my life. I was looking for someone to sit with, trying to find friends that would take me in. And this boy, this teenage boy, came up to me and handed me a piece of paper. And it was kind of folded up, and I saw him looking back at all of his friends. And so this was my first projection of this new town, was this boy handing me a piece of paper. My first interaction with someone my age. And he said, just so you know, this is what you look like if you don't know. And so I opened it up, and it was a picture of a very overweight girl or woman, very distorted looking, not even, you know, like a how anyone actually looks. And at the time, I was like, you know, a pretty fit. I was in gymnastics and cheerleading, and I really hadn't even noticed my body at all. Like, I had no awareness of my body as a 14-year-old girl yet. Until I opened up that piece of paper. And then suddenly it was like my eyes became open to how I looked and my physical body. And of course, the picture was distorted. It wasn't even reality. And so this was the picture that was painted for me. So you have, on top of being in a new town, being the new girl at school, being in your first day of high school, then suddenly, you know, feeling totally insecure and noticing my body for the first time. And so that was kind of my transition into this new town and also becoming really a teenage girl. So my testimony does go on, though, and it does have a beauty for ashes story, so it doesn't end there. But that was definitely a rough time in my life, for sure.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel in that moment? Because we've got a lot of moms and even dads that listen and watch. How did you feel in that moment? Because I think as a mom myself, we separate ourselves from what we grew up with, those feelings, those first time events. And It was a very poignant time in your life. What would you tell the mom and dad who's listening how you felt, so maybe they can better deal with their daughter?
That's a really good question. You know, I think if you can go back to and take yourself back to when you were a teenager and just remember moments in your life that you distinctly remember. And I guarantee you everybody has stories. And maybe it's not right on the top of your head, but maybe a gym coach spoke something to you. You know, maybe they said, oh, you'll never be good at basketball. You know, here, just give me the ball. Something like that. Everybody has stories that they can remember from back when they were younger. And maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a friend or a classmate, like my story, or a teacher, or somebody just on the street. You know, I even remember something that when I was babysitting, and I think I was like 16 years old, that the little kid said to me. I mean, which is just crazy to think that you can remember something like that. But ultimately, all of those words and all of those things that are spoken over you or into you do, I believe, have a profound impact on the way that we see ourselves, especially if you don't have a way of knowing how to guard your heart against those words. And at the time, I grew up in a wonderful Christian family. My parents, from a very young age, taught us, you know, about the Lord and how much He loves us. I never had a doubt in my mind that He loved me so much. However, I didn't really know for myself how to guard my heart, and also just really who I was in Christ. What did He personally say about me? And so I didn't know how to take the words of someone else that were spoken to me and separate that from what God says about me until I was older. And so if you have a teenage daughter, I say daughter, but really it's son or daughter. I just think girls, they I believe, you know, struggle with things pertaining to appearance, and this is just particularly what my story is about, and body image, a little bit more than boys, teenage boys. And that's not to say it's all teenage boys don't struggle. Definitely, I'm sure that there are plenty. But with girls specifically and body image, I think that that hits home a lot harder. And so, you know, one of the things that I would do if you were a parent of a teenage girl is to really start at a young age, or even now, no matter how old your daughter is, to start to esteem them in who they are in Christ. And also, what does God say about them as far as even how they look, even down to their beauty. And, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is, how beautiful you are, my darling. There is no flaw in you. And so that's what the Lord says over us as His daughters. And so I would just encourage your daughter in who they are in Christ, and also teach them how to guard their hearts. So that, for me, just looks like, you know, if somebody speaks something over you, measuring it up with, what does God say about me? And if it's not lining up, then teach them how to, you know, distinguish that as a lie, and always God's word as the truth.
Mm. That is powerful, Katie, very powerful. And that's one of the reasons why you're going to want to pick up your own copy of her brand new book, Nourish, Discover God's Perfectly Balanced Plan for Your Body and Soul. So you talk to the mom and you got the dad taken care of, but then you have a younger girl who's listening. You've got the one who is standing in your shoes when you were 14 years old, and she doesn't know. She's heard maybe about Jesus, how much He's a part of her life. We don't know that answer. Where do you start with that young, precious heart and begin to allow her to see that she was created in the image of God when she's stuck in the middle at school in the lunchroom with the note that's saying, this is what you look like?
Well, like I said, I think that so much of our identity is going to be found in the Word of God. And I think, as parents, like we talked about, if parents can teach their kids straight from the Word who they are, that is really where I think a lot of it is going to take place, is right at home and learning from a young age who they are. But if you are the teenage girl that is going through this, and maybe you haven't heard, you know, who you are in Christ, I would just encourage you to start to seek out God for yourself. Go and find in the Word of God, go find scriptures and promises that talk about what he thinks about you and what he calls you and what he says about you, because that ultimately is the truth. And everything else, people, you know, people speak lies over us. A lot of times we don't really think of them as lies because it's not like, oh, hey, you know, I'm going here, but then they really go somewhere else. Lies are really anything that is not lining up with God's word. It's not what God actually says about us. So that's how we know that it's a lie. And also, if it doesn't bring you, you know, a feeling and a sense of joy, of peace, and also esteeming you, then you know that those words are meant to tear you down. And so, because God's word will always, you know, show us who we are, and it will always esteem us. And so I personally, what I like to do is I like to ask God for myself. I say, God, will you just show me a scripture on this? Will you lead me and show me some promises about this topic? Or if you want, we even now have so many great resources. We have sermons that are online. We have podcasts that are online or on your phone. We even have Google where you can search out a scripture. So you could type in, what are some scriptures on finding peace? And then you'll find scriptures on peace. What are some scriptures on beauty in Christ? And you could get some scriptures on beauty in Christ. Also, in my Nourish book, I specifically have in the back of the book identity scriptures. So those are scriptures that are there right for you, and even prayers that you can pray specifically based on the promises of God's word. So I have them in the back of my book as well. So there are tons of places that you can find great resources on finding promises and scriptures in the word of God. And of course, always ask God yourself, because he's a good Father, and he longs to talk to you, to hear from you, and for you to seek him out. And when you do, the promise of God says that when we seek, we will find. So if you are seeking truth in his word, you will find it.
Amen, sister. Keep preaching it. I love it. It is awesome. And we hear so much because of our Facebook, Instagram stories, all of these feeds, social media stuff, Twitter even, people get on a Twitter rant, and we can tear down as fast as we can build up. But a lot of times we find ourselves caught in the comparison trap. And it's the comparison where we're looking at our neighbor or our girlfriend or, you know, the other mom down the street, whatever it is, whoever we're comparing to. I love how you say that we really need to look and measure, not compare, but measure ourselves to what God calls us to, how he has designed us, how he has put his thumbprint on our heart.
Yes, and I think that this is so important to remind ourselves on a daily basis. I, in fact, just this morning was getting dressed, and as I'm getting dressed, I was thinking about somebody else, and my mind started to drift, and I started to compare myself, and I thought, wow, that was a really good idea at first. That's how my thought came, is I thought, that was a really good idea for her to do that, to share that. And then all of a sudden, my thoughts started to tumble downward into this comparison, where I was thinking, why am I not doing more? Why am I not, you know, thinking of great ideas like her? And then it turns into jealousy and envy, and that's just yucky stuff. Once you get into that, you know you are in the wrong, you're on the wrong road. And so I started kind of backtracking and thinking, okay, where did I even get into that thought of jealousy? And it's one of a really sweet, awesome woman of God. And I'm like, what? How did I even get thinking I was jealous of her all of a sudden? And so a lot of times it just starts as a thought, you know, and we have to be careful about these thoughts that start to kind of go downward, just like I talked about, because it is just that subtle where the enemy will get us to kind of compare and take a snapshot in our mind of side by side. And there's nothing wrong with being inspired by people. There's definitely nothing wrong with thinking, oh my gosh, what a great idea. But I would just always be aware of when you start to get into jealousy or comparison, because, you know, there are so many scriptures that warn against jealousy and comparison. And that's because it really is opening the door to just all kinds of negative thought processes. And I guarantee you, if I kept letting my thoughts go in that direction, before you know it, I probably would have ended up having a horrible day, maybe putting so much pressure on myself, undue pressure. And you know, I had to also remind myself, I'm in a different season. You know, I have a little one that's still very much relying on me. Not that kids ever stop relying on you. I'm convinced that they always do. But when they're babies, you know, they really do look to you for everything. And so I just had to say, you know what? God is so good to me in this season, and start to be grateful and thankful for what he is doing in my life and where I'm at right now. And so that's one of the remedies I am so convinced will automatically grab us out of that comparison mode is gratefulness. If you just start to thank God, even out loud, for what is he doing in your life right now? What are the awesome things that are going on, you know, within your realm of influence that he's given you? I mean, how cool, even if you're a stay-at-home mom, that you get to literally impact these children and raise them and teach them the way they should go. What an awesome impact. And start to really just think about what you can be grateful for. Then suddenly it's like, how am I comparing myself to that other person? Because they have a totally different calling right now, a totally different season than I'm at. And so we can then cheer each other on. And I believe that's what God is ultimately looking for and calling us to do.
Yes, we need to be a cheerful giver with our heart and with our gratitude. And mm-hmm. It's hard sometimes to do. I mean, you already said it this morning. You were stuck in a pattern. Let's go back to when you were that teenager, because it just wasn't that one letter. That one letter was just the beginning of your downward spiral that took you to an area that no mom ever wants to have to deal with. Talk about mm-hmm. your eating disorder.
Yeah, it definitely was that lie that was painted on the inside of me. It was like an image that was painted on my heart, just from what that one boy spoke. And just as sure as I believe that anytime we believe a lie, it starts to almost project itself in so many different ways. And I believe that that was really a plot and a plan of the enemy to kind of just get me off course at a young age. And, you know, I really kind of didn't know better. So I started to go on diets. And I didn't really know a whole lot about dieting. I just heard bits and pieces. So I heard someone said, don't eat bread. So I thought, all right, I'll cut bread out. You know, don't eat this, don't eat that. And I literally just kind of made up my own diet and slowly but surely cut things out. And I don't think my mom really noticed at first until suddenly I talk about in my book, we were in a dressing room and I was trying on a cheerleading uniform and she noticed how baggy it was on me. And then I, you know, she kind of was looking at the skirt and she noticed that my bones were actually like sticking out. And she said, how did it even get this far? And I didn't notice. But I was really good at hiding it. That's one of the things is I went through anorexia first, and then it spiraled into different types of eating disorders throughout the years. But with anorexia, it's very secretive, and so I was pretty good at hiding things. I would pretend like I had eaten, you know, dinner, but I really hadn't, like at my friend's house, things like that. And then my mom and dad tried to get me to go to counseling. I went to counseling. However, I wasn't really opening up or sharing anything. And there's only so much that the counselor could try and get out of me. And then they even took me to doctors. I mean, they did all of the right things for sure, but definitely without a doubt, the most powerful thing that they did was pray for me. And I believe so so strongly in the power of prayer, even if it doesn't seem like anything is working or like anything's happening. I guarantee you that there were times that they felt discouraged because it was years that I went through eating disorders. However, when I was 18 years old, on my 18th birthday, my two sisters called me upstairs in their room and they said, "Katie, we need to talk to you," and started crying. And I saw the tears streaming down their faces, and they're my best friends. And I knew at that moment that I had to change, if for nothing else, for them. And I could see that I was literally breaking their hearts. And so I started crying with them. And at that moment of opening my heart, the Holy Spirit came in and just changed, did such a work on my heart and such a healing. And we all prayed together. And at that moment, the Lord completely set me free from any desire to do any act that would harm my body ever again. Although I still had a lot of renewing my mind to do. I still had a lot of healing to do on the inside from years of believing lies and thinking wrong thoughts about my body and myself. I, at that moment, was set free from eating disorders. And so all those prayers that my parents prayed in that moment, it was all for that moment. And so I would encourage you, if you're a parent, don't give up. Don't give up praying for your kids.
Mm. That is well-spoken advice that we all need to be practicing, is prayer. And unfortunately, we do even put off just that basic little, "Hey, Lord, I'm still here. I need you today, and thank you for everything that you've given me." And another reason why you're going to want to pick up her brand new book, Nourish, Discover God's Perfectly Balanced Plan for Your Body and Soul. Well, when you said 18, things began to shift for you. And you write about in your book, A Promise of Hope, and you talk about a butterfly.
Yes. Butterflies actually started to become very impactful for me during this journey of walking out my healing, because I would take walks, and it was at the time I was still living in Wisconsin, and I remember taking a walk down our street and seeing so many butterflies, but there were almost always a few that would literally seem to circle around me while I was taking walks. And at the time, my walks were for exercise and to burn calories. I mean, it was like that was my agenda for the day every day, was how can I burn calories? And so that was my purpose. And then I started to think, what is going on with these butterflies? Like, why are they everywhere? And so I started to do some research about butterflies, and I started to just capture that fascination in my mind with butterflies. In fact, I even in my room in Wisconsin decorated my room with butterflies. And I didn't really know what the correlation was at the time. But then years later, as God brought me out of that darkness, he led me to the scripture that is now my life verse. I mean, it is the scripture that truly brought me out of darkness and into light. And it's Romans 12:2. And it says, "Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will know God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for your life." And when I read that scripture, it was like the butterflies just like instantly popped into my mind. And I was like, oh my gosh, because the word transformation in that scripture is brought it full circle. So when butterflies are just caterpillars, they're just kind of earthbound. I mean, they're stuck on the earth and they're just crawling around, and you know, they can't really go far or do much. And then suddenly they go in this cocoon and they're completely transformed. When they come out, they're then able to spread their wings and fly. And not only that, but they're beautiful. I mean, who doesn't love looking at butterflies? They're just magnificent. And so God showed me how my life was like a butterfly, or all of our lives, really. I mean, it's not just mine, how we are kind of earthbound. We're just kind of stuck and moseying about. But it's not until we take that time in that secret place, that cocoon, so to speak, of being transformed by God's word and being renewed in our mind with his word, that we come out and that we're able to soar above the things of this world, the things that drag us down so often and, so to speak, grow wings. And it's such a cool and magnificent parallel between what happens when we're renewed from the inside out with God's word.
It is magnificent, and it's truly indescribable. And I thought it was so beautiful when you were writing in your book about that, because then you also talk about a garden for your soul and how you look at that. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's bringing in nature. But that's what God created. I mean, he created this world. So what better way to use his creation to see the connection of everything? So when did the transformation really begin to take root for you?
It was when I was in my young 20s. I was in nursing school. So that was a big part. I had a revelation that, wow, our bodies are so complex and wonderful. And it's not something that we can just take for granted. You know, we have to honor our bodies and really use them to serve the Lord, because he's given us this incredible body and it does so many amazing things. And so it was when I started to study the human body. I think that was a big part of it for me, was realizing that I need to take care of it and that I only have one. And just seeing people in the hospital, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, all these people have so much life ahead of them and so much life left in them. And I just want to be able to really take care of my body now so that when I'm older, you know, it will be serving me well as well. And then in also that time, I believe that God really put a desire in my heart to start cooking. To be honest, I never even cared about cooking. I never enjoyed it. And my mom will joke and she will tell you, Katie did not learn to cook from me, because she is like, I literally just get me as far away from the kitchen as possible. So I didn't learn it from someone. I just really believe that God put that desire in my heart because I started experimenting with recipes and I started to enjoy food again and really see it as something that can be enjoyable. And it's not the enemy. It's not something that we have to abuse our bodies with or treat it like, okay, this is good, this is bad, you know, and oftentimes we do that. We kind of just put labels on food and instead say, how can I nourish my body? What are some ways that I can enjoy my favorite flavors? Because God gave us all taste buds that enjoy different things, different flavors and textures. My 8-month-old daughter is the first to really teach me about that in a whole new way. So it's not about saying no and denying those desires, those taste buds, but it's about saying, how can I nourish my body with my favorite flavors in a healthier way? And so I really started to get in the kitchen, start experimenting, and that's how my love for recipe creating also came about. So I think it was the parallel of learning about the intricacy of our bodies and also and taking care of them, and then also learning how to enjoy food again and get in the kitchen.
Well, you got in the kitchen because you have Dashing Dish Cookbook. How did Dashing Dish come about? Tell us a little bit, you know, where that came, because didn't it start as a hobby?
It did. And I was actually working as a nurse. I was a labor and delivery nurse at the time. And my husband said to me, hey, why don't we create a website where you can share your recipes? Because I was bringing in cupcakes and all kinds of treats all the time to my nursing staff room. And they were all like, this cannot be healthy. And I was like, yeah, it actually is. It has no white flour, no white sugar. No one believed me. So my husband, who's a graphic designer, said, I'm creating a website. You're going to share these recipes. And as I shared the recipes, I also shared my heart and I shared my background, and also just started ministering through devotionals on my site. And lo and behold, it turned into a full-blown business and ministry that God has totally just blessed and opened doors beyond my wildest dreams. But I believe that it's a place that really people can be ministered to, body and soul, because it's not just about food, but it's also about finding our worth, our value as a woman in Christ. And also just through devotionals and through different ministering avenues that I have on my website, I believe it's a place that people can find refreshment in their soul, because that's definitely a huge part of our health as well.
And we all need that refreshment, that rejuvenation. And God wants us. He created the Sabbath for a reason. And, you know, being able to pull back and release. And for you, you found it, oddly enough, in cooking and lots of recipes, but more of a benefit for us, especially since you wrote your brand new book, Nourish, which you all will want to pick up your own copy, Discover God's Perfectly Balanced Plan for Your Body and Soul. Well, how have your struggles impacted your successes?
Well, I think that our ministry, and we all have a ministry, whether you think that, you know, it needs to be standing on a platform or being a pastor at a church, you know, like we literally all have a ministry, and that is whoever God has given us to reach, and also whatever is in your heart, like what are you compassionate, what brings compassion alive in your heart? So I believe that ministry is ultimately usually birthed out of our misery. So whenever we have a story that, you know, something that we've gone through that was really hard, and God brought us through it and out of it, then we can share that story to other people that are going through it as well. And then we can also share, you know, what are some things that God taught me along the way or did in my life. Also just be an encouragement to other people going through that. You know, as a new mom, I feel like I have a new side to my ministry, and that is new moms, because I have had the awesome opportunity to connect with so many women over social media, especially. And I'll tell you, when I talk to moms, I'm like, it gets better. Like, if you have a newborn, it gets better, because I think they need to hear that. I mean, the first 3 months, I was like, is this what I signed up for? I really had a onesie for my daughter that someone gave us before she was born that said gift from God. And I remember her wearing that onesie, and I was crying my eyes out, and I was like, is this the gift from God? I haven't slept in 5 days. And I just think that people, moms, need to hear it gets better. Usually it's with your first that you need to hear that the most, because you have no experience, you have no clue what to expect. But, you know, and so I think that anytime we go through something, if you have learned something and something has encouraged you along the way, share that encouragement. Be a blessing to other people that are going through that. If it's writing a simple note or a card or, you know, just sending a quick text and saying, hey, I'm praying for you. You can do this. You got this. It gets better. You know, that's some ways that we can minister to other people. So I think that we all, you know, can encourage others in places that we have been there ourselves, for sure.
Mm. Way to take your ashes and God turn it into beauty. Talk about beauty for ashes.
Yes, that is one of my, one of the things that is nearest to my heart is how God takes anything that looks like ashes. And so really that's anything that it feels like it's been through the fire and the smoke and it's burned to nothing, but just ashes laying on the ground. And you think, how can anything good come of this and turn it into something beautiful? I have seen it happen not only through eating disorders, because, you know, I talk about in my book as well how my body was so wrecked for so many years that I actually didn't even have a normal womanly function. And for about 8 years at all. And so doctors thought, told me, you probably won't be able to have kids one day. And if you do, we just don't even know if that's a possibility. And so lo and behold, we have Madeline Joy, which is one of the greatest demonstrations of beauty for ashes. But also just in so many different areas of my life, where I have been through so many things that I just think this is the bottom of the bottom. There is no way back from this situation, and there's no way that this could ever turn out good. And God does something beautiful with it. And not only in my own life, but watching people around me all the time, that God is the great redeemer. And so I would just encourage anybody that feels like they have ashes in their life, no matter what they look like, and just say, God, here, I give these to you. I give you this situation, this person, this thing, and I know that you can make something beautiful of it, and trust him with that. And it may not happen overnight, but trust and also have hope, knowing that God can make something beautiful out of it.
Hmm. Well, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to anyway, because I feel your heart here, and I feel the Holy Spirit present. I know there's someone listening right now who is drowning, and they don't know how to get out. You wrote in your book, you said you've written prayers, and you've said multiple prayers. Would you mind praying right now over the listeners who are hearing your words, that God will speak them and comfort them at this moment in their life?
Yes, I would love to. Well, Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, that you are the great redeemer. We thank you, Father, for how you do turn beauty. You take ashes of our life and you make them into something beautiful. I just pray, Father, for every person listening, and in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you would bring forth hope, that hope would arise in their hearts, Father, that they would see themselves as this butterfly, Father, that may feel like they are just crawling around earthbound right now and not able to go very far or do much. And I thank you for painting a picture of hope on the inside of them, that Father, that you are taking them into that secret place, that cocoon, that hiding place, Father, where you hide them under the shadow of your wing, Father, and that you renew them, that you restore them, that Father, you give them a new sense of life, a new sense of purpose, Father, and that Lord, they would go from an earthbound caterpillar to this beautiful butterfly that has wings to soar. Father, I thank you, Father, that you would just bring redemption, that you would bring healing in every area of their life that needs it, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that they would find their hope, their restoration, their life, their beauty in you, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the great work that you are doing, and that you are the great Redeemer, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Katie, for that. I just know right now that is reaching someone. And, you know, it's amazing how God can show up in our lives. Mm. And he can show up in a brand new book called Nourish. And he can speak through powerful words. He can also speak to us through ashes. And when we're in the depths and the valleys of chaos, we tend to forget that there is beauty from ashes. And so thank you so much for that prayer. Well, in your book, obviously, you've got some hopes of your own. What do you hope that your readers will gain from reading your book?
Anybody who picks up Nourish, I hope that they find encouragement and hope in their soul. So that would be the first thing, because that's really the foundation for my book. A lot of times health books or fitness books, diet books, those all talk about the health of our physical body. But I start off my book with sharing my story and then talking about healing for your soul. And I think that that is the first thing that everybody really needs to address. And I don't claim to know all the answers or say, here's how you do it, step A, B, C. But I do point you to the one who can bring healing to your soul. And I talk about his word, the Holy Spirit, and talk about praise and prayer. And those are the keys to finding healing and health in our soul. And then from there, I talk about the health of our physical bodies, because ultimately, we do have to take care of this body. It has to be able to run the race set before us. And in order to do so, that means that we have to take care of it. And so I talk about my personal journey of taking care of my body, and how to choose God-made food. So I make it really easy. Did God create this for our bodies or not? You know, very simple breakdown of how we can fuel and nourish our bodies. I even talk a little bit about exercise, because that was something that for me, I always thought, I will never be good at sports. I'll never be good at stepping foot in the gym. But yet I've learned to move my body in an enjoyable way. So I teach you, how can you find something that's enjoyable to you? So just different ways to take care of our physical bodies as well. But ultimately, it would be to find health in your body and your soul.
Mm. Beautiful. And I love how you wrote in your chapters, you have at the end of it, if I can flip to one here, where you talk about food for thought and you have nourishment for the body. In every chapter, you have that and you give one of your delicious recipes in each chapter.
Yes. And I have to say, I carefully chose the recipes I put in because I could only include 12. So I was like, I have to choose carefully. So they're my favorite recipes of all time.
What is one of your favorites that's in there? What is it called?
The oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. And it's my favorite because it contains no white flour, no white sugar. And you might be thinking, well, how can that even taste good? But my picky 2-year-old palate husband loves them. I always have to say that because people don't believe me that they're that good. And the great thing about my recipes, too, is I try not to include a bunch of weird ingredients. Like, you don't have to go to a specialty organic health food store to get these ingredients. They're all at your general grocery store. So I make it easy to make, too.
Oh, and that's what we need. Come on, you know, as a mom now, we need Yes. easy peasy all the time.
Yeah, I don't have time to go to 4 grocery stores. I don't.
Exactly.
I'm sure some people do, but I sure don't. So.
No. Not with Dashing Dish and everything else that you have within your community. No, you don't. Well, you continue in your book, How to Put It All into Practice. How do you find the balance between physical and spiritual health?
Well, I think it starts with putting God first. And I actually include 10 P's on putting it all into practice. It's just a chapter on 10 different things that you can practically do right now. Because sometimes I think when we read a whole book, we're like, okay, I'm totally overwhelmed. Where do I start? So I'm like, if you don't know where to start, here's 10 things you can do right now. And the first one is spending time with the Lord every day. Prayer and putting him first, because even if you don't have time, and I remember when I had Maddie and she was a newborn, I was like, I can't like sit here and journal for an hour and spend time with God, you know, like studying the Greek, like of the Bible, you know, but I did have time the first 5 minutes or 2 minutes even that my eyes were open in the morning to say, hey, God, I need you today. I invite you in. Help me. Give me wisdom. Help me not to hurt this little person that you gave me. You know, so if you have 2 minutes to invite God in and to pray over your day, that is the first thing. And then practically throughout our day, if you can put some healthy food, some fresh ingredients in your body, even if it's frozen vegetables, like I'm just talking like don't eat takeout all 3 meals of the day, because you'll probably feel pretty bad at the end of the day, unless you're moving across country.
That's the only excuse.
You have every excuse if you don't have a kitchen that's functional. But, you know, just doing what you can, even little changes over time to fuel our bodies healthy and putting God first every day. Those are just some basic ways that you can put it into practice.
I love it. Okay, so you mentioned about lies and truths. And in the back of your book, you talk about making this chart of what's the lie and then, you know, speak it from the truth. How has that really served you as you've gone on into, because now, I mean, you're, I don't know how many years out from the chaos and what God pulled you through, the ashes that you went through. How has that really served you?
Well, I would say, it's been about 14 years since I've been, you know, down the road of eating disorders. And to this day, I still renew my mind every single day. If it's not even like a chart thing, I do it just subconsciously because you get better at it as time goes on. But if you're just beginning learning how do you renew your mind and what does that mean? I talk about it in a very easy to understand way in my book. But basically, it just simply means that you're taking the lies, like you just said, and you replace them with the truth. And so you could even write a chart out. And that's what I did in the back of my book, is where I wrote a chart of different lies that maybe you've believed. So something like, you'll never succeed at this. You have literally tried, you know, 100 different times and you keep on failing. You will never succeed. That's a lie. What is a truth from God's word that we can replace it with? So on one side of the chart, you replace you take the lie and you write it down. And then on the other side, you just draw a line down the middle of a piece of paper. You write down the truth. What is the truth about this? What does God say about this? And so now I don't actually write down charts, but I do this all the time just throughout my day, where I'll start to believe something or think something that I know does not line up with God's word. And so then I'll replace it and I'll say, nope, I know that's a lie. And here's what God says about me. It can be as mindless as like you're doing the dishes and you're thinking about something. And then all of a sudden you start to have this little thought creep in and it starts to kind of bring in, weigh down your emotions. And then suddenly you say, nope. And then the Holy Spirit is really an awesome helper at this, and we can't do it alone. But the Holy Spirit will literally take scripture that you have read maybe 4 days ago and bring it back to your memory and your remembrance. And so suddenly you have this promise or the scripture or this story from the Bible in your mind. Or maybe it was from a podcast or a sermon you heard, or maybe even some worship music. And that's why it's so important of what we put into our hearts and our minds. That's why it's so important that we fill up our minds with, because if nothing good is deposited, nothing can be brought good up and brought to our remembrance. So maybe it was a worship song that you were listening to and it really encouraged you a few days before, and the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance of how good God is. You know, maybe it's you're a good, good father. And one example of this is with Madeline. She was probably like 3 weeks old and she started to turn really yellow. And so we called the doctor and he said, you need to come in right away. And we started to get really, really scared because my mom said it's probably jaundice. And he actually kind of freaked us out a little too. He said, well, you know, how long has it been going on? I said, I think it's been getting worse over a few days. And he said, oh, that's not good. So I started to get really anxious as a new mom. And then all of a sudden, the song that was playing when we brought her home from the hospital came back to my mind of You're a Good, Good Father. And so that song, just I started singing it out loud and reminding myself that God has been so faithful and He has been so good and He has never let us down. And in fact, the reason that she's here is because He's so good. And so then I was like, you know what? He's going to cover, He's going to protect, He's going to give wisdom, He's going to give us everything we need to take care of this little girl and to get through the situation. And so that's just one example of how we can renew our mind with the truth.
Oh, so beautiful. All the more reason why you're going to want to pick up your own copy of Nourish, Discover God's Perfectly Balanced Plan for Your Body and Soul. Well, Katie, I know people are going to be anxious to find you, to connect with you. Where can they find you, this beautiful woman you are?
Thanks. You can find me at dashingdish.com. So that's my main website. Also, I have social media pages. So Dashing Dish on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. And my favorite social media is definitely Instagram, if you follow me there, because that's just like my real life stuff. So, I mean, I'm just talking video without makeup on there. You know, I'm like, okay, today has been one of those days. And so that's really, I think, where you get the real Katie. But Facebook and Twitter, Pinterest, that's where I share a lot of my recipes and just the updates that we're always making to the website and things like that. So definitely check those out, and hopefully they're a blessing to you.
Well, fabulous. And we will definitely have all those links in the show notes for you. Well, I have one last question for you, Katie, before I let you go. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
Definitely just a revelation of who God is, and his character, his nature. You know, I think that when we go through the hardest things, that's when we really find out who God is. And God has shown himself so faithful to me. One of my favorite things to tell him is, God, you are faithful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I find myself even going through hard times, you know, because we are always walking through different seasons. But when I find myself going through a hard season, I just say, God, you're faithful. And I know because of the past that he has been faithful, that he'll continue to be again. And so I think that's what really going through hard times is it really allows us to have an intimacy with him where we know him and we just know that he's good and that he'll carry us through because he has in the past and he'll do it again.
He has carried you through, and you are a blessing to many. And I know God will continue to bless what you do and the endeavors that he has planned for you, because I'm sure there's some surprises along the way.
I can't wait.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an honor, Katie.
Well, thank you. I feel truly honored to be able to share my heart. So thank you for the opportunity.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.